Welcome to SMR's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedres.org discussed a recent study that found that high rotational or low translational traction between footwear and playing surfaces have been linked with the greatest percentage of severe non-contact injuries. Traction between playing surface and an athlete's footwear is necessary for sports performance, but it may contribute to non-contact acute lower extremity injuries. Rotational traction has been linked with anterior cruciate ligament injuries. However, it's unclear if translational traction is also related to injuries. Therefore, this study investigated the relationships between footwear, rotational, and translational traction on playing surfaces and non-contact lower extremity injuries. The authors monitored 555 high school football athletes during a 3-year period. The playing surfaces changed over 3 years. Therefore, the traction was measured on both artificial turf and grass surfaces with each athlete's selected footwear. The authors tested shoes using a validated mechanical protocol with standardized speed, position, and load. Overall, athletic therapists reported 58 non-contact lower extremity injuries among the 555 athletes. Traction was categorically grouped, and the authors found that low translational traction, or high rotational traction, had the greatest percentage of severe injuries. This is one of the first studies to investigate translational traction in addition to rotational traction. It appears that footwear that offers high translational traction but lower rotational traction would be ideal. The question remains if there are certain shoes that may be able to achieve these tractions. The authors noted that the mechanism of injury was based on athlete recall and that testing was done on one specific day, so it did not take into account environmental variables that may affect playing surface traction conditions. While the study is interesting, it was done on a high school football population, and it would be of further interest to see if these findings would be replicated in other sporting populations on their respective playing surfaces. Perhaps if these variables were studied in a female soccer or basketball population, it would be interesting given the higher incidence of non-contact anterior cruciate ligament injuries in this population. This study will hopefully prompt further research to help us advise our athletes, but in the meantime, it's a nice reminder that we must consider the effect of footwear on different fielding surfaces. This past week, we also had 3 other posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. The first post described a study that found no difference in body fat percentage between male athletes with disordered eating and those without. However, sports that emphasized leanness, such as swimming, had higher scores on disordered eating inventories compared with athletes in sports with weight classes. There was a relationship between male athletes with higher levels of body fat and body image dissatisfaction. The second post discussed a study that found that overreaching endurance athletes may be more likely to develop abnormal sleep quality and quantity, as well as upper respiratory infections. And finally, the third post described a study that found that human growth hormone stimulates collagen expression in skeletal muscle and tendon and abolishes the normal decline seen during inactivity and rehabilitation. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included several posts discussing recent studies on a range of topics, from promoting healing at bone-tendon junction with modalities, to the fact that in high school sports, football players suffer the most ACL injuries. So remember to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.